I'm Lindsay with Wild Root Flower Company.
And I'm Shannon from Bloom Hill Farm. Over the last 6 years, we've leaned on each other as we grew our farms into the profitable six-figure farms they are today.
We want you to join us each week as we have real, honest conversations about life and business. And we promise you'll leave feeling inspired and your farming toolbox will be filled with actionable strategies you can implement at any stage in your business.
Learn from our mistakes as we talk business, marketing, and growing techniques to help you create the farm of your dreams.
So let's roll up our sleeves
and get the dirt on flowers.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Dirt on Flowers. We have a fun episode today, which I always say that. I do always say that.
Well, that's because they're all fun.
That's right.
We're
that's
not right. Lying.
Yeah, number one flower farming podcast. We're still going for that. I keep pushing that.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. We are talking today about something that is super important for everybody. And I think that, you know, we're always talking about like profit and the business side of things. But this is a business marketing side that I don't think we all consider as like super important part. So today we're going to talk about branding and why branding is so important, is a crucial part of your business and that you should be considering it. I know when I first started my business, that was like one of the first things that I spent money on because I kind of knew that I like to shop a quality brand. Like, you know, I'm an Anthropology snob. And I love the experience of buying from there and the packaging, the tags, the floral, the displays they have in there. And so, you know, I'm kind of a sucker for good packaging. So I thought I really need to spend money on getting this like set up because I also wanted to feel like I had been around for a while. I wanted it to feel like I had my shit together, you know, because I feel like that's kind of what it was. So today we're going to talk about branding with you. And by the end of this, you are all going to probably want to rebrand or pat yourself on the back because you've done a really good job with your branding. But either way, we're interviewing today Alex Northrup, who actually is the one who did our Dirt on Flowers logo. If you have not seen, which you have seen if you're listening to this podcast, our little cover photo for our podcast is actually an eight foot, seven foot wide and seven foot tall floral installation. It was on my barn floor. Yeah. We had this fun idea.
I wish we would have had more pictures.
I know. I wish I would have done more.
No, it was just probably so cool to watch though.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
It was. And she, I think I've told this on here before, but she did it at my place the day before and then came the next day we were photographing it because of light issues. And I had this fear that my chickens were going to jump out and go peck the seeds. So I'm like, holy crap. You know, the barn doors were shut. So I went out that night to just to like double check and make sure there was like barriers. But, you know, we had barricaded them off. And like I hit the broom and the broom fell. And I remember it fell like right beside it. And I was like, oh, I just have to get out of here. Like, it's fine. There's no chickens eating sunflower seeds. Like, get out of here. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, it turned out beautiful. And that's with Alex. So Alex Northrup is a friend of mine. She is local to Marietta. She is amazing. She's extremely humble with her work because she probably won't tell you that she's done stuff for Target and some other really big name companies. So I feel super lucky to have her as a friend and also to help us with, she's done Bloom Hill stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Bloom Hill, Dirt on Flowers.
Joy to work with.
Super amazing, easy to work with. Yes. And she is a freelance design and artist. And Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. I suckered you into it.
I love talking about what I do, though, because I think it's something that people don't really understand, especially if you've never worked with a creative. So I'm happy to pass along some information and knowledge to help all the flower farmers out there.
Yeah. So Alex, tell people, like, I guess just tell people like what it is that you do. And
So currently I'm a freelance illustrator and hand letterer mostly. I do design work still. And the design work I do is actually just branding because that's what I really enjoy doing. And I've worked with a lot of small businesses in the past couple of years, actually. So I really have an understanding about the difference in like a big corporation versus like a small business and on all the things that go into it, because I have worked with so many of them, and especially startups, because that's like its own its own thing, I feel like. So, but I am currently doing a lot of illustration and hand lettering stuff. And like you said, I have worked for Target, which was really cool, and Honda, and a bunch of publishers. So it's been really fun going out on my own in the past few years.
Yeah.
Very cool. And yeah. Some murals too, some mural work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Public art. And yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. I kind of like all the projects usually involve multiple skills. So they all overlap and come together usually.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's yeah. Amazing. Her work is amazing. We'll link her social profiles and stuff on there if you can mm-hmm. check it out. And yeah. She's very, very, very talented. So
thank you.
So Alex, I know we're talking about branding today. And then for me, I think just even working with you, learning that it's so much more than a logo. It's like 10 steps beyond that and just the way that you're thinking about your brand. So why would you say it's important? Why is branding important? I think is like the overall, you know, what we're looking at today. So what would you say to that?
So yeah, I think that's an important part, is like it is more than a logo. I think that's mm-hmm. an old model that we used to work with, is like a logo. And maybe you'd have like two variations and that would work. But like this day and age, especially with the digital applications that y'all have to, you know, use and figure out, like it just doesn't work like that anymore. And the other thing is too, you know, what you guys do, especially when you're thinking about how you're going to promote your business or elements you might have to design later on, because you all have a lot of, you know, you have your hands in your business so much and you're doing a lot of different things, that it's nice to have a branding package that you can pull from to really help you figure out how to design those other elements, so you don't have to think about it. You know what I mean? Like all the work has been done for you. So really a branding package is just thinking about all the visuals relating to your business, how they're applied, and how your customers will interact with them and what they're going to interact with. So that could be like, it is like your general logo, but it also could be submarks that can be utilized for certain applications, or things like avatars and for profile pictures and digital media, color palettes, typography. And then sometimes designers even go as far as to do messaging, specific messaging and brand guidelines and image directions. So it can be really, really vast, but it also can be pared down and more catered to your specific needs. So anything visual kind of that your business puts out there and your customer interact with, that is your branding.
Mm-hmm. And that consistency too is just incredibly mm-hmm. important, as people are like, you know, some of the biggest brands that we can know and recognize just from a simple symbol, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, what does that look like for your farm? And can your symbols stand alone and people will know it's you? And just having that when people see it, I feel like flowers, it's so interesting because I've had customers say, just when I see your flowers out in the world, like I know it's yours just from mm-hmm. the look of them, you know, not even, so it's just like having consistency with that brand is so important. That's where kind of, would you say branding goes like the extra mile then with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And also making you stand out, like if you're in an area where there's a lot of other florists or a lot of, you know, other flower farms, like what is different about you? And you want your brand to stand out from the rest, you know, you want to entice people to want to come to your flower farm or experience your flowers based on what brand you're putting out there. So, I mean, I think that standing out amongst a sea of, you know, other people doing similar things is really helpful too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And you hear people talk about brand identity, and I think that's probably what you're talking about, right? Like just the cohesiveness. I mean, think about a Target commercial. I know it's a Target commercial before it even throws a logo up. It's wild. I'm like, how do they do it? You know, and then I'm watching for these consistency, you know, these markers to say like, how do I know that's a Target commercial mm-hmm. before it even is?
For sure. And like, what's that feeling you're getting when you see that? Like, usually it's like all based around a certain feeling. Like Target is super like joyful and happy. Yes. And you get that sense color. Like, yeah, you get that. Okay. Yeah. And they like use their red, you know, color. And so you get that sense and all the things, you don't even know you're experiencing it. It's just like all these things have been well thought out so that mm-hmm. as soon as you come into contact or you experience it, it's like you're getting those vibes like right off the bat. So yeah, that's a great way to, you know, explain what branding is. It's more, it's really a feeling of all the touch points that your business puts out and, mm-hmm. and how it feels when your customers interact with them. So
if we have somebody listening right now that thinks branding doesn't really matter. So like, what would you say to that person to, you know, before we dive into the podcast?
Yeah, I think that it's important to think about like that branding is the face of your business. So a lot of times customers come into contact with your branding before they even visit your flower farm or even see your flowers or meet you or anything. They're coming across your branding. And so that's the first experience that they have with it. So, I mean, like we talked about, you want it to be a specific feeling because you want it to exude all the thought you've put into how you run your business and the specific flowers that you grow and the overall vibe of your business. So yeah, I just think like thinking about it like that, it's like coming to, you know, an interview wearing sweatpants. Like you may be the best worker and, you know, have the best work ethic and be a great person. But like my first impression of you, I don't know that I want to get to know you if you're coming to an interview in sweatpants. So it's like, that's how customers feel. Yeah. You know, if you have kind of a haphazard brand or one that's like hastily put together, it's not really exuding all the things that you've, all the effort and the thought you've put behind everything else. So I think about it like the face of your business is helpful to understand like the reason that it's worth investing into.
I think, you know, when we're just getting started too, it's making that investment when we don't want to, but it's so important. I mean, I think just even looking back at Bloom, at my own personal farm, it's like I got a logo on, I think, Etsy, you know, and it was like, there, not that there wasn't a ton of, there was a little bit of thought put into it. And now it's like, even now with Canva, like anybody can make a logo, you know, but, and we know when I was working with Alex, like we were really figuring out, okay, like how do I differentiate it, make it different? How do I refine it? And even thinking about it from like a, like how am I refining my logo so that it translates easier on digitally, on paper, on the things that we're doing. And that I think is really like, that's where that cost, I think that that's where the investment people are nervous about, but it really is, it's like something that you can have forever and then just keep utilizing so that you, people are starting to recognize you. And I think we'd talk a little bit maybe about the investment with that and how important it is.
Yeah, the longevity and the value is what you're purchasing in addition to the visuals that you're getting. Because if you're investing in a brand that's well thought out, then the hope is it grows and evolves with your business and you don't kind of hit a wall with it where you've like, this isn't reflective of what I'm doing anymore, or I'm limited in how I can use my logo because like maybe you bought it on the cheap, so they just gave you one version. And like, is that, how does that translate digitally, or how does it translate like in a big capacity, like on a sign? Like they can't like both work. So I think that that is part of it, is like the long-term investment that you're making is that you want the shelf life of your logo to really be long. And I think that some of these other options that are like a quick fix, I totally get the draw to them. But it's, you get what you pay for. And also just because people can create things and because the tools are so available doesn't mean they're really putting the thought into creating your brand that like a seasoned designer is going to put in, because they're considering that. They're considering the longevity. They're really taking time to think that through. I mean, just like with you guys in flower farming, you know, there are lots of people that can grow flowers in their backyard and they're totally capable, but that's so different than, you know, what you guys do creating, you know, having a whole farm that you're, you know, running. So it's the same with design. Those tools are readily available and anyone can technically design something, but what's the thought behind it? You know, have all the angles been, you know, well planned and thought out? And is there communication with you about what you guys want to get out of it? Like who, when you're investing in your brand? So,
yeah, I think it's easy to get caught up with branding and spending money on it, thinking that really all it is a logo. And it's really so much more than that. So like, let's talk about like, you know, what having like what a good brand provides for you. I mean, because it really is more than just you're paying for something that you can go on Etsy and grab a logo. Because I think that's what most people think of as branding. So,
yeah, I mean, good branding, what you're aiming for is to build trust and credibility, reliability with your customers, authenticity, uniqueness, and longevity, like we talked about. And flexibility and scalability this day and age with all the digital platforms. So those are like the kind of four takeaways that you want to get out of a really, really good brand and what as a good designer is working towards.
Let's talk about the first one then. Let's talk about building trust and credibility and reliability with your customer then.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my best example is I've bought things because I've really liked the packaging like so many times. How often have you seen something cute and you're like, oh my gosh, this packaging is so cute?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I've never been let down by buying something that way because typically if you're going to invest in the face of whatever it is, the product, then the actual product inside is going to be up to that quality. I mean, people, that is what that shows to me. Like I care about like every aspect of my product and so my so that it reflects how the quality of my actual product. So when you put that out there, you're creating this reliability and credibility and trust with your customers before they've even touched your actual product. Just by showing that this is all of these aspects are important to me, you know that my product is going to be just as good. Whereas, you know, something that looks a little thrown together, my initial thing is going to be like, well, if they don't care about even making this look good, then how good is the product? So it's just like that idea. And like we do as customers, but judge books by their cover. Like we just do. We eat with our eyes. We buy cool packaging, you know. So we as customers, we just do that. So it's important to remember that it does reflect your product, how your branding looks.
You know what it has me thinking about, Shannon, is you know how I package up my flowers for a la carte weddings, like their pickups?
Yeah.
We just throw them into whatever. We save Amazon boxes, flower boxes. Like we don't brand that stuff out because to me, I'm always like, they don't really care. But hearing her talk about that, I'm thinking, do they? Yeah. You know, because I am thoughtful to not put it in like a kitty litter box or something, you know, like an old, chewy box, you know, but it's really, I don't know. It has me, I don't know. I'm just thinking about that. Like, man, does that really matter? Like, should I not be using, should I just get a standard size box from Uline? Because it really wouldn't be that much money to like drop those in.
Yeah. It wouldn't be like,
I don't know. Up. Yeah, the box isn't going to be beat up and we are always looking for a standard size. Like we'd have a standard size they could fit in the back of their car. I don't know. That's that's an interesting thing. Slap just like a sticker on the side of it.
Well, if you're talking about, Lindsay, with the experience of Anthropology, like just to use that word experience, it's like, I mean, that's what you want. You want your everything your customers come into contact with the same experience as your flowers, like and you and your farm, like – you wanted to have that, all that feeling. And so.
Well, and that was one of the, when you and I were working on my branding initially, and we were going through that, talking about, that was one of the things I said to you was like, I want the logo and the branding to feel like have a happy vibe, a feel good vibe to it. And I feel like my logo really ended up being that. Like it's so pretty on a shirt. It's just a pretty logo to wear. It's, and I didn't want it to be, when we talked about it, like I didn't want it to be just trademarked as only a flower farm. You know, I left it flower company for a reason. So it gave me some flexibility even within the name of the company and then my branding in general to not, you know, keep it too, you know, too narrow, I guess. So next, let's talk about like the authenticity and uniqueness piece to it.
Yeah. So this is a big one with like Canva and Fiverr and Etsy. Like a lot of those, I call them out of the box solutions. They're like kind of pre-made a lot of times. And what happens is like anyone can snag those. Sometimes they'll say like, oh, this is only exclusive to you, but typically they'll resell them. So you're getting some, and you're also getting something that's a little bit more generic. So it has mass appeal. So it's not specific to your business. You know what I mean? It's going to be a little more general because obviously they want a lot of people to purchase it. But what happens is you'll have similar businesses or just other businesses in general with a similar look of the logo that you have. And it's not specific to you to say like, here, we are different and here's why. Like there's nothing in that. It's just very vague. The other thing is trademark issues. If you want to trademark, you cannot trademark those kind of designs because they are not custom to you specifically. So yeah, I think that's not something that a lot of people think about. But I will say, being in the digital, like being online, you're not a small you're not a small business just in a small town anymore. Like, you're on the world. And I've had a client of mine who had been established for a long time and had someone, because he had a website, come back and say, hey, we have a similar name and we want to, you know, take you to court. And because he couldn't pay, even though he was longer established, he had to change his name. So like, it does happen because of the digital world. It's so different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be devastating. Yeah. And it's costly. Oh, I mean, there's a business in town that bumped into that too, that because they sold a particular type, their businesses were different, same name, business is different, but because they sold a particular item, they had to completely change their name. And it was a mess. It's like, you don't even think about that, really. I mean,
yeah,
you just don't
think about it. Yeah. You don't think about it, but being online, you're just exposed to anyone seeing what you're doing and your brand and everything. So it's.
Yeah. Yeah. And the place for trademark stuff too, the place to not, you shouldn't be looking like, does somebody have that Instagram handle? You know, because that was like where I had started. I was like, oh, well, that's like, you know, you're playing around looking for different names and you're thinking like every name's taken. But there's an actual official website for like trademark stuff. It's a whole nother ball of wax.
Yeah. And if you're, that's not necessarily branding, but kind of, because naming is part of it. Sometimes designers do offer that service of actually helping to name your business. But yeah, if you're thinking about just the naming, you might want to search that too. Because not only can it be like, oh, you could get into legal trouble, but if someone is out there has your same name, then that's just hard for searching for your website, like SEO stuff. So, I mean, that's something to think about for sure. But yeah, I think just having a similar look to other businesses, if you're trying to be more competitive or stand out, like that is really what we're talking about with getting a custom brand package that's going to really reflect what your business does and who you are, instead of like something that's more generic from these quick fix kind of out of the box options.
Mm-hmm. A lot of our listeners too are kind of going from hobby growing to actually having a business. And this is such, to me, it's the differentiator between those two, you know, spaces too. So it's like, I'm taking this seriously. I'm a force in the business world. I'm a real, like, I'm being serious about this. So I think it's just that credibility piece, the uniqueness is so important. And you want to feel like there's some uniqueness to what you're doing, that you're going to be different. And I think it's so easy when you're just a hobbyist, you know, because you're like, oh, it's just, you know, they always, I don't want to spend that much money and do it. But I think it's just so important, especially for the longevity of our businesses, that we're trying to take this serious from the beginning. I wish I would have from the beginning too.
Yeah, I totally get that. It's a hard, big investment to make, but I think if you put so much time and thought and consideration into so many other aspects, like, wouldn't you want the first impression to be just as good? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, that's a shame that their first impression isn't as good as what you actually are offering, or all the thought and consideration you put into those things, other aspects. So,
yeah. Let's speak a little bit about longevity too, because I think that's an important thing, because there's like trendy things, you know, that we can include in our logos and that kind of stuff. But speak a little bit to the longevity and how branding kind of feeds into that as well for our business.
Yeah, I think especially inexperienced designers or like things off of like Etsy, like they are relying a lot on trends, because that kind of grabs your eye and like, oh, this is cool. Well, what's cool right now is going to be totally out of date, you know, like in the next couple of years. So a good designer is going to think about like timelessness and how it's going to grow with your business. And like Lindsay said, like not boxing you in, so that if you do evolve, like they think about all those things. Longevity is a big aspect of it, because it's really easy to go for those things that are really just eye-catching, but not necessarily, there's not a lot of substance behind them. They're kind of like all flash, no substance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so you want to have someone that's going to think about what is the shelf life of this, and if it's going to have like legs to continue along with your business, hopefully for the lifetime of your business. That's what you aim for.
You kept saying to me too, I remember, like, oh, the different applications you could use it on. You could use it on this. You could use it on that. You want it to be linear for this, or you want, you know, that was super helpful for me when talking through the branding side, because you think of stuff that I wasn't even going to be thinking of, like, oh, okay, well, that would look good on a sticker. Or that could look good on, you know, your van or however. So I'll have to post my van. Alex did my van. And it's the cutest flower van.
It is very cute.
I don't care. It sounds, it's the cutest flower van in the country. It's the cutest flower van ever. And because I literally, I told her, I'm like, I can't even believe I'm going to have a van. Like, I'm just, I didn't want a van. I didn't want to drive a van. And I know.
Why not?
I can't.
I had two minivans at one point. I was the minivan.
You're a
mafia.
Mom. Yeah. Like, I feel it's okay. I mean, they're super fun. They're awesome. They're very functional. Yeah. But I was like, I don't want a van. I even tinted the windows on the stupid thing. I was like, no, anybody see me in this thing. So, but now it's branded and it's cute. I'm a car snob. I've already said this. I am a car snob. I don't care. I like my SUVs or truck. Got my Jeep. Yeah, I'm a brat when it comes to that. So anyway, but she did my van and it's so sticky cute.
It really is.
Cute. Oh my God. It's just the cutest. So,
and that was like, we kind of came back to your branding because we sort of established the brand. And then I was like, I think we need to do another round sort of like a secondary brand and establish like illustration elements and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, because those were things you ended up using on quite a lot of things, you know? So we kind of established that tone. So, I mean, there are designers, and talking about investment of like hobbyists to, you know, becoming really, I guess, professional or however you guys phrase it. Mm-hmm. Some designers will work with you like that. Like, but I think that's why it's important to get a good designer, because you establish that nice relationship. They understand your business at that point. So if you need to come back to them and be like, okay, let's add some extra elements or some extra assets or whatever, it's like they already have figured that out. And you don't have to start from square one or try and figure that out yourself. So that is kind of a way that people that are transitioning from hobbyists into more professional, like that kind of helps bridge that a little bit if you can find a designer that will work with you. But yeah, flexibility and scalability is huge. This is why I think like the whole trend of like having a logo to having more of a branded package has happened, is because honestly, a couple of things, the digital landscape and all the ways that your logo has to appear on there as opposed to, you know, physical objects or like big signage or whatever. But also in your field, like you guys have like a retail kind of element, but you also have like an experiential element with people come to your farm. Mm-hmm. So it's like there are so many things that you guys apply your logo to. And I think it wouldn't feel the same. Like, for instance, Lindsay, on your farm, it wouldn't feel the same if your logo was just slapped on everything. It's like we have the little bee icon that we incorporate sometimes on signage. We have, you know, a little round sticker that has floral elements. It just creates a whole vibe and feeling instead of just logo, 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 logo. Mm-hmm. You're creating more of an experience and it's just more interesting and dynamic than just slapping your logo on everything. So yeah, flexibility and scalability is a huge one. And I think that's why the shift has really happened with branding packages as opposed to just straight up logos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even I was thinking the other day, because I was using the branding package that you made for Bloom Hill, Alex. And I'm like, just to have the clarity on the colors that I should be using on something, for me, it makes my life so much easier.
Yeah.
And not everything's looking different. It's just like, okay. And now if I'm like designing like a PDF guide or something, I have that guidance. And with Canva, you can like upload your brand colors. It's so wonderful. Like, it actually makes your life easier as you're designing these tinier elements and stuff for your farm too. Yeah. So
totally. Yeah. It like saves you in the long run, because if you're like, I have to save money by designing all my whatever promotional items or social media, whatever. And it's like, instead of you being like, how do I design this? You're like, oh wait, I have all these things like to help me and these tools that I can just implement. And it, so it's like in the long run, it kind of saves you money in the long run, because otherwise would you be like, do I need to hire a designer for this stuff? Like, I feel like it sets you up more for success to use that and be able to design things for your business so you don't have to hire a designer. Or if you have someone that's working for you, you can send it off, you know, send off your brand guides and be like, this is what it needs to, you know, look like to adhere to my brand so I can maintain consistency. So like, even if it's a upfront cost, it like in the long run, it's kind of like really helping to take some of that off your plate for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think other professionals that you're contracting with, like my web guy was so appreciative to have it, you know, and it really is. It's just puts your business on a different level, not in just your customer eyes, but in other like-minded businesses that you're working with in collaboration. It just makes you just look more professional, and it's the icing on the cake, I think, with everything.
That's a great point. Yeah. Working with other creatives, it makes it mm-hmm. their job a lot easier. And therefore, you don't have to do a lot of back and forth with them.
Yeah. They were yeah. so he was like, oh, thank God. You know, because when you don't have it, you're just shooting from the hip. Like, oh, yeah. this yeah. looks good today. Or, you know, so it really is a wonderful, you know, tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, for sure.
Keeps you reined in. Mm-hmm. Well, Alex is my web guy. So oh. she's yeah, she's helped me. So Alex, as far as the process with working with a creative, so if somebody has never, you know, hasn't worked with anybody or they're thinking about branding, you know, the branding process, like talk a little bit about what that process looks like.
I feel like this could be its own podcast episode so much. it's like really hard. It is that's part of the challenge is working with small businesses, because if you've never worked with a creative, you might feel like completely like confused. So like I said, it could be its own discussion, but I think the really, if I had to nail down one thing, it's like making sure that you're doing the work up front to figure out what your company is all about. Like what makes you different? What makes you special? What is important to you? Determining that, because if you can't articulate that to a designer, you're not going to have as much success, you know? So it's like, it's not our business as designers. It's just like, whatever you tell us is what we're taking in to then create something that is so specific and unique to your business. So I think putting in that work up front and figuring that out, which really helps your business, because then you can pull from that when you're like, just like as a blueprint, it's like, this is what I'm about, you know? So it's helpful. But yeah, I think that that's the most important thing. The other thing is, don't be afraid to ask questions. I think people are afraid to feel dumb if they don't understand it. But like, how would you know if you've never worked with a creative?
Right. So,
like, asking questions if something doesn't make sense, like, you know, what's your process look like? And designers will tell you, and then you have a really clear understanding of it, so you don't get blindsided by extra costs or whatever. And also finding a designer that their portfolio speaks to what you want. So someone that maybe is a great designer, but they design things super masculine, is not going to work if you want something that feels a lot lighter and feminine. So it's like finding the designer that's going to fit what you need, not like just picking a good designer and being like, now make this work, because we all have different styles and approaches, you know, and some of us are better at, you know, being able to do a lot of different kind of looks, and hopefully the portfolio reflects that, but mm-hmm. there are people that are going to be a better fit for you. So just like really looking at their portfolio and the past work they've done and figuring out if they're going to be a good fit for you.
What does for somebody who doesn't know, and I guess I don't know, I mean, I kind of do, but like, what does a branding package include? Right? Like I know it's different for, I know it's probably hard to answer, I guess, because it's different for everybody. Just give us like a general.
It is different, but overall, you want to get a series of logos in different formats. I mean, base level, that's what you want. Like you want something that's going to work in a really horizontal space, like a website banner, you know, you want something that's going to work vertically, maybe something that works small. Like that is bare minimum, I would say. And then color palette and typography. So that's kind of bare minimum. And then from there, you know, depending on your needs and depending on what the designer offers, because some designers will only offer like a full-on package and others will cater it more. So it just, again, asking questions, seeing how the designers work and understanding that is helpful. But yeah, base level is logos in different formats, color palette and typography. And then beyond that, it just depends on your specific needs.
Yeah. I think all those are so important. I didn't really think of this, but when you said it, I was like, wow, that's a really good point, because I'm sure a lot of us, when we're getting started with our businesses, we're just like, can you create me a flower farm logo?
Yeah.
But it needs to be so much more than that. And you really don't think about like all the work that you personally need to put in to thinking about it before you just go off and contact somebody to create a logo, because as a designer, that could be pretty frustrating, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, you mean if someone just comes and says, I just want a logo?
Yeah, just give me a
flower farm logo. I think it's like, it's hard because as a designer, we're like, this isn't going to serve you. You know what I mean? It's like, and I think a good designer is going to tell you that. So I mean, I think that it is hard as a designer. And yeah, some designers are like, I only offer full branding packages, and some will be more a la carte. And like I said, I think Lindsay and I's example is really good, because we kind of did base level and then we came back, you know, and so mm-hmm. and revisited and added to it. So yeah, like I said, some designers will work like that. You just have to interview kind of, you know, and talk mm-hmm. it through and see, you know, what you need and what they're going to be able to provide and what's going to work the best and see if it's going to be a good collaboration. So
yeah. So if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, okay, I want to get a branding package, and I know I'm looking for a range here. So let's say they say, okay, I want the logo in multiple forms. I want typography and I want some color, a color palette. What financially, what kind of investment does that look like with not necessarily even with you, but in general mm-hmm. with designers out there?
That's hard. There are some, yeah. I would say 5K minimum, and then it goes up. There are some people that it's like 25K, like, mm-hmm. but it is like, you're getting the best of the best. You know, it's, mm-hmm. you get what you pay for really, mm-hmm. like when it comes to design, but not to say that there aren't designers that will do it for less, but just if they're offering it for less, I would just be really careful to make sure to see what you're getting from it and make sure that it's going to be well thought out and you feel like confident that they're going to meet your expectations. But usually it's like 5K is usually the lowest. Yeah. And then it goes up from there.
Yeah. I mean, paying so much more that you're paying for your expertise as mm-hmm. a designer, your brain, how is this going to work beyond that? So that longevity piece, this is where the longevity piece comes in with the investment, I think.
Totally.
So yeah,
the value, the longevity, and yeah, the knowledge that the designer brings. Mm-hmm. You know, if they have a lot of branding experience, obviously they're going to bring a lot more knowledge, and they're going to set you up for success much better than someone that doesn't have as much experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what you're buying into, and I think that's the important thing to take away when you're thinking about the investment. It's like, you're not just getting a logo file. I mean, you're getting so much more than that. That's what you're trying to get out of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even the through the branding process, it allows you and to think about your business and the ways that it could expand. You know, it kind of that whole branding, the conversation through the branding process, it's like all the different applications it could be used, but you walk away in the end with something that's timeless, you know. Is there ever an opportunity, not an opportunity, is there ever a timeline that somebody should look at rebranding? Is there, because didn't Starbucks do a huge rebranding a few years ago? Wasn't it Starbucks?
I think so. I mean, there's been a lot of like national companies that have done rebrands.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, if you have a good brand to start with, it's a lot easier to do a freshen up than, yes. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. there are times where it's like, I can't work a miracle. You know, it's like, this isn't going to work as a freshen up. Like, we don't have enough to go on, or the client is wanting, like, they're wanting to change something about the look, but that basically changes the entire look. Like, there's just no way to work within it. So, I mean, I just think that if you feel like your business has grown a lot recently and you're like looking at your mark and it's not feeling like it's reflective, or you're like running into issues with production, like Shannon was talking about, it's like sometimes it's logistical things. Because if your logo like doesn't work small, or doesn't work like, if it needs to be embroidered, but like it's not clean enough, or it doesn't scale down good enough, then you're going to run into production issues. So I just think it's like, do it sooner than later though, because the problem is like, you're building brand recognition from the get-go. And so you don't want to waste all that brand recognition you've built like way, way down the line. It's better to do it sooner than later. So that way it's like not reinventing the wheel, or not starting from square one, like mm-hmm. after you've been established for like 10 years. And then you're like, oh no, all this brand recognition is kind of out the window now. So sooner than later is the easiest answer, I think, if you're feeling like it's not quite meeting the mark, or not flexible enough for your usages.
I looked it up. They rebranded or changed their logos 2011. So apparently, I hung on to that. I don't know who Jeff Bezos is, but I can tell you when they rebranded Starbucks logo. Oh my God.
They got a Starbucks out there?
They do. We just got one right off the interstate. Yes.
I know.
So what would you say are some tips and tricks to avoid? Like if you got a branding package and you were just, you didn't, you know nothing, you know, what would be some glaring yeses and some glaring no's?
Like once you've gotten a branding package mm-hmm. or before, yeah. once you've gotten one?
Yeah.
I guess for sure, like if it's a, if you don't have a lot of variation in your mark formats, mm-hmm. that's going to be a problem right off the bat when you go to apply it to different things, especially from like physical to digital. Digital is just so much smaller. I mean, most of us are just looking on our phone. So like it's mm-hmm. so much smaller. So if you're not getting a lot of different formats right off the bat, that's going to be a problem down the road mm-hmm. because you're going to hit a wall with how you can use it. I would say, I mean, I think just overall, out of the box branding tends to be really problematic because it just doesn't, it's just not specific to your business. It's just going to be more general. So I think getting something that is more catered to, you know, what's important to you, the ethos of your business, the mission of your business, the overall vibe is going to serve you so much better in the long run because it's going to be so much more specific to you and going to make you stand out amongst other people kind of in your area doing similar things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the other thing we didn't even talk about is like file formats, because there are designers out there. If you're using someone that's not designed and you're only getting like one file format, a JPEG or something that's completely mm-hmm. flattened, like you don't have a transparent background, so you can't use it on anything. So you should be getting multiple variations of a logo and multiple file formats and multiple colorways. If you're not getting that, then you're going to have a problem when you go to like use it yeah. for your own needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So the example of that would be like if you're getting it as a JPEG and you're going to put it on your website, let's say your website background is green, and you upload the JPEG, it's going to have a white box around your logo. So that would be what you want is a PNG. Is that right?
Yeah. Or like a SVG. Yeah. There's a couple of different ones. But like also that means it only can be seen at that size. So like if you try and scale it up, then it's going to pixelate. So then again, gotcha. You want a different file format because like SVG files, and sorry to use technical terms, but there are certain files that scale to as a size of a wall if you want it to be. You know, like a JPEG is not going to do that. Yeah. So like you definitely like want to have multiple file formats for usages. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
That's helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked when I got my brand package from you, Alex, about how many Dropbox folders
yeah.
there were. You know, really, I was like, wow. I mean, I think at that's the time when I'm like, wow, okay, I can really use this for everything that I would need. And I think that is really the important piece. In any scenario, I would have something that works. And that's what you're looking for. You know?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great point. I never even thought about just that base level of having multiple file formats. It's like mm-hmm. you don't get that a lot of times when you're getting off these out of the box. It's like one and done kind of thing. So, you know, having all those things you can pull from you know, screen printers use a different type of file than sign makers and billboards. And, you know, it's like they all want different things. So mm-hmm. you need to have all of those or else you're like, this is again where it's like saving you time, because if you don't have that, then you're like scrambling, figuring out like, what do I do? Like, how do I get another file format? Like, this is another headache that you don't even have to worry about if you have a designer who's just like, here you go, everything you need, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's expansive. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking now that I need to buy those boxes for my wedding pickup. But listen, I could take, you know, I send them an email. This is what happens when I talk to Alex. Every time I talk to Alex, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is what else I need to do. We email them their pickup instructions and their care mm-hmm. tips for how to keep those flowers fresh for the wedding. But I could put that all right on a sticker with our logo and sticker it right on the side of that box. And then they mm-hmm. don't have an excuse to say they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Add that to the to-do list.
And I just feel like when you are offering an extra bonus like that, it's like, I don't know, I always feel more comfortable spending more money if it's like the whole thing is like very well thought out and it has a whole feeling and it's like you put so much time into all the components. I'm like, yeah, I'll spend extra money. Look how well thought out this is and look how cute this is and, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, I just am more apt to spend more money if, you know, I'm feeling like I'm really getting a lot out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, absolutely.
And also, it's part of the experience of the a la carte is that you're getting the beauty of full service.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Without the setup. So it elevates the a la carte.
Yeah.
How do you package yours? Do you do any fancy packaging?
We just do, we
have boot boxes that we put all the boutonnieres into boot boxes, and then all the bouquets come in water, like a black bucket with water that has a sticker on it. That's really it. Yeah. Okay. Or a big flower box if I need for like an arch or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Got me thinking too.
Anything else, Alex? Any other thing we missed or you wanted to mention?
I don't think so. I think we hit it all. I mean, I think it's just getting comfortable with the thought of it being worth the investment and understanding the long-term value you're investing in, that it's not just a quick thing. It's like really like growing with your business. It's going to be around a long time. You want to make sure you like it because you're going to be looking at it a lot.
Yeah.
I remember Lindsay, when I did your package, I was like, put it on the wall, walk around it, see what you think, what's working. Because like, it is like, you're going to be looking at this for a long time. It's going to be what's associated with your business. So like, I know a lot of times it's just like, let's get this done. But think about how long that's going to be, you know, connected to you, and it's worth the investment up front so that you have something that really feels like it's connected to your business. It really speaks to what you do and all of that stuff. So I think it'll set you up for less headaches down the road.
And there's a reason that these big companies all have in-house designers. And, you know, as business owners, I know for myself, I'm always looking at bigger companies than me, whether not even in the floral industry. I'm looking at how they're marketing, how they're branding, how are they running their business, all of those things. And so they're all spending the money on it because they know the value in it, their consistency of brand, all of those things that you talked about. There is so much importance to it. And so I try to, you know, I do try to model my business after those people that are doing it well and very successful. And I don't even know if we said this, but it's this one point. It's like, it does overall with flowers that are like really well branded and the packaging, I think it elevates the price of that bouquet in itself. Yes, does it cost you a little bit more to have like a fancier packaging or, you know, tissue paper or whatever touch you choose to have on it that differentiates your brand, you know, to somebody else? I actually have custom tissue paper. That's one of the things Alex and I did. So for like Mother's Day or packaging or when we ship something out, you're going to get like a branded Wild Root tissue paper. And I know Tracy and Matt that we had on the podcast, Tracy was like, "Ooh, aren't you fancy?" And, you know, she was like, "I want tissue paper." I am fancy. Thank you. But that's what I want my brand to feel like. I want my brand to feel fancy. I don't want to be the cheapest at the farmer's market. And that I am 100% okay with that and comfortable with that positioning. So,
And I was just thinking, we are selling a luxury item. Yes.
Great.
We don't have to have flowers to live, you know? So, does our brand match our luxury item, something that people don't need to survive? Just some things to think about.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I think those are all like the important things to sit down and think about like before you find a designer is like, it's a luxury item. Like, who is my customer? Who am I trying to appeal to? But yeah, that's an excellent point. Like if they're buying a luxury item, you want the whole experience to feel a little luxurious, you know?
Yeah.
Your customers will appreciate it and you'll, you know, be able to, like you said, elevate your prices potentially based on what you're offering. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is just a question that I know some people are going to ask, but if they say, okay, I want a branding, I want to do this. So where do they go about either finding you or somebody like you in their area? Like, is there like a place on the web you guys all hang out?
I mean, honestly, the best is word of mouth, which is tricky because obviously you don't want to go to other local flower farmers in your area and be like, "Who designed your stuff?" Because I want to use them too. So, but maybe it's like not even looking at another local flower farmer, but maybe it could be like a restaurant in your area that you love the branding of, or, you know, but just that's the best way because, and especially if you know the person that used them, you can ask how their experience was. So that's one way. Another way is just perusing Instagram and searching for, you know, Instagram.
I like the word of mouth thing because that's the word of mouth thing is always good because that's how I have curly hair, well, wavy curly hair. And so finding a hairdresser. I have found really good hairdressers, especially when I moved to DC. And I saw a girl, I was like, where do you get your hair cut? You know, she had the same, like, kind of similar hair. So it's kind of the same thing. You know, you
get it. I've done that with hair for sure. And it's because it's a visual thing. It's like, it's just so much better to see something you like and be like, oh, I like that. And then, you know, find the person that did that, because you're not just like unsure about what's it's going to look like. You already have found something like that they've created that really resonated with you. So yeah, that is the best way. I feel like you're going to have the most success if you go that route, but really just keeping your eyes open. You might be driving on the street and see like a local place that was branded a certain way. Go in and ask them who did their branding. Like, that's how you're going to find someone that you really are going to like what they produce. So, perfect.
So where can they find you? Are you taking new clients? Because you might be getting some calls.
Yeah, sure. I'm always interested in working with people, especially small businesses that are doing creative things. So I am currently working on my website. This is an ongoing thing. But right now you can find some of the stuff I've done on Instagram. I'm at a.n.creative. So yeah, if you want to look for me there, you can find me there. Yeah, just send me a message.
Thank you.
This was good. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, no problem. Really appreciate you.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're really so grateful that you're here each week and we get to hang out with you as our flowers start blooming, which is exciting for all of us. Over at Instagram is where we really like to hang out. So at Dirt on Flowers, each Sunday we're popping up a question box so you guys can let us know, hey, what are you struggling with? And those things that we get to hear from you really do inform our episode choices. What are we talking about? So that's such an important piece to what we do. So we'd love to hear from you there. And overall, just this has just been so fun. I have 100 episodes plus. Well, we should be over 100 by this point, right, Lens?
I think. Yeah. I don't think so. Nope. Nope. Just kidding. Two more. She's at 98.
Two more. 98. But it really is just the coolest thing that we're even here. And we really appreciate you guys being here with us. So we'll see you at the same time, same place next week. Bye, guys.